The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Pretty strange to begin this sermon with a Trinitarian benediction, isn't it? Don't benedictions belong at the end? Well, benediction really means, in the Latin, to speak well, and it's when God speaks well. God speaks things that are blessings to us, so they are appropriate at any time. But in addition to that, this happens to be the text for today, this Trinitarian benediction. How appropriate, too, that it's a Trinitarian benediction, because, of course, this is the week following Holy Trinity Sunday. Appropriate to have a benediction at any time, even as we begin Greek class, and some of you begin your seminary careers, where in Greek you will finally learn and give special meaning to that old American colloquialism, "It's all Greek to me." Now, don't be concerned about whether or not Christ's grace, the Father's love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit are with you during Greek and during your entire seminary career. They are, because they all stem and flow from the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me, and work that we are fed with through his body and blood and through his word yet today. You see, the beautiful thing about this benediction too is that there is a certain blessed absence. Because really, what this Greek sentence says is that there is this grace of Christ, this love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and that it's with us. But there's no express verb. There's no "I may" in it. It's sort of like "me Tarzan, you Jane" talk, where there is no verb. But you know, there's a certain blessed absence in that sense. The blessedness is that, of course, when we have no verb and it's implied, then of course this wonderful blessing, this benediction, is the truth from the past, the truth of the present, and the truth for the future. In other words, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit have been with us always, are with us now, and will be with us always in the future. So live and enjoy Greek, knowing that that is true. Okay, so you and I are secure in our salvation in Jesus Christ because we know that he has done it all for us. But what about all these people who don't even know if there's a God, who don't want to have anything to do with organized religion, or who belong to a sect or a false religion? Where do we go with that? Well, at times we have to speak words of law, so that they might see how their own sinful natures are leading them to false conclusions. Some people, of course, prefer a God who is not Trinitarian, but instead perhaps bimodal or bisexual or you name it. You can just about have any kind of alternative God, including land and family and friends and money and all the false gods that we know of as well. The cultural relativism and pluralism of our age, especially as it began with my generation, the baby boomer generation, makes it completely politically correct to believe in whatever you want to believe, wherever you want to believe it, and to practice your religion in any way possible. The latest example of this is the Episcopal priest, and some of you have probably read of this, who recently became a Muslim while remaining an Episcopal priest. I guess you can order your hamburger with ketchup and mustard. You don't have to choose between the two. Expressed in another way, perhaps this is theological schizophrenia. If you have any question about what the other religious bodies in America that are growing really are doing, just think of these things. The Mormons believe that Jesus is not co-equal with the Father, but was brother to Satan and only one of a number of gods that populates the universe. And remember that he went to preach in North America, hence giving rise to the Book of Mormon. Think also of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who believes that Christ is not God, but he is a God, and that he was created by the Father and has never eternally existed with him. Consider these words of perhaps a sect that is not growing, but declining, but perhaps a good thing, because listen to these words of Mary Baker Eddy, founder of Christian Science, in her book, Science and Health. Quote, "The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed on the accursed tree than when it flowed through his veins." That's a complete denial of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And then we can also think of the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews and so forth. So our job is to speak the truth to these people, to use good apologetics, to use good reason, to use evangelism, but ultimately to get to the point where we can tell them the truth about the triune God and Jesus Christ. We're going to be somewhat reluctant to do this, aren't we? Because it's not politically nice. It's not appealing. It invades other people's space and other people's territory. You know how it is even with your own family. Some of you, like me, probably have some unbelievers or some heterodox Christians in your families, and those are some of the hardest people to talk to when it comes to talking the truth about the triune God and Jesus Christ. But also we're going to have those among our friends, among our colleagues, and so forth. Being seminarians, you almost have to go look for opportunities to meet and talk to unbelievers, people outside your world, because we do have this ivory tower type thing. So take every opportunity you have to also engage people from off the campus so that you can begin to see what the real world is like, which you're going to go back to once you finish your seminary days. You know, there's one place where the Holy Trinity is probably best summarized, and some of you might recognize these words from something we said last Sunday. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So that's our job, is to proclaim the wonderful news of the Holy Trinity, true God, Christ, with the Father and the Son. It's easy to point to others, isn't it, and talk about lack of knowledge and understanding of the Holy Trinity, lack of faith, and so forth. But if we look at our own lives, we say, boy, we've boogered a lot of things up ourselves. We've bungled lots of opportunities. We sin daily, and we often squander our talents that God has given us. Yet we know for sure that God loves us, he's baptized us, he will keep us, he will never let us go, and he will even use our stupidity for the benefit of his church. We might never see that, thankfully, but he will ultimately do that. So the whole Trinitarian benediction, then, stems and flows from Christ and his saving works for you and for me. Leave rejoicing. Leave today knowing that, in fact, this grace and this love and this fellowship with Spirit indeed does flow through this word, through the sacraments, to you. And that whether you realize it or sense it or not, God loves you, he cares for you, he'll always be with you. And yes, he's even going to get you through Greek. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, will indeed be with us all. Amen.